Affairs Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio at Hattusaw and Bears Talk. This week, our special guest is former Bears wide receiver Rashee Davis. Good to see you, and my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, Mr. Tom Thayer. Good to be with you guys. Rashid, good to talk to you. Looking outstanding,
I'll
fit, ready to go.
Once in a while. You guys make me.
Very Christmassy with the yes. with the hanky.
That was my intent.
Yeah, nice job. Good to have you here, and we got a lot to talk about, so let's dig in. Now, the Bears getting a couple of takeaways. You know, they've had opportunities over the course of the season to get more, but, Tom, that hasn't happened. A byproduct of a lot of reasons. You got to really be in a position, first of all, to be attacking the ball, and that hasn't always been the case. And then when you get there, you got to finish the play, and that's been the theme of the entire season, regardless if it was a game, a quarter, a snap, or in this case, a takeaway.
Yeah, but what level do you want to get takeaways? You know, the thing about the Bears have a strong enough pass rush that they should be able to get the ball away from a quarterback every once in a while and then pounce on it when they see it on the ground. But I do think the Bears fans, the defensive coach has been waiting to get some turnovers from the defensive backfield. Nice reaction by Hurst in the end zone to get the deflected pass to intercept it. And then Cravon LeBlanc when you needed it the most, when you needed a turnover to get the spark back on your sideline to put your team ahead, they were able to capitalize on that. And I think it's interesting because defensive backs, they get challenged, they get picked on during the course of the game. If they don't do something about it, they're going to get picked on the whole game. And so here's LeBlanc, gets picked on a little bit, and then boom, they try to go at him with some experience coming out of their own end zone, you know, and then he steps up and makes a play. I do think that's a huge boost for him personally mm-hmm. and for the Bears team and something to look forward to.
Definitely. You, like we've said, all year long they've been needing to get takeaways, and to be able to get a couple takeaways in this game is going to be huge for them moving forward. Hopefully they can build on that the rest of these three games and going into next year.
You are a DB also. Is there a built-in fear? And, Tom, you can allude to this too, being with some of the great ones that you played with and watched on the 85 team and on defensively. Is there a cautiousness for a young player sometimes? You're afraid to make a mistake or to take a chance on going after a ball. You'd rather play it back, let the guy catch it, and you tackle him. When you instead have a chance to go and have the angle on a ball?
You hope not. You want to play fearless, especially in the defensive backfield. You know, you have to have a short memory in that respect, and you have to go after the ball. I know when I was here, you know, Lovey preached takeaways. So everybody was aggressive to the ball. If the ball was on the ground, they picked it up, ran with it, whatever. Even in practice on something that was an incomplete pass, you know, if the ball was tipped in the air, that's what was always preached, tips and overthrows. Elevate the pass so that the safeties can get to it.
This is a great question for you. Does it take talent to do it or a mindset to do it?
It takes talent. I mean, mm-hmm. defensively speaking, there's no better athletes on the field than I think defensive backs. Yeah. And just their ability to get in a full speed back pedal, to go into a full speed forward run, to understand what routes are going to run against you, to how to get you out of position. And then when the route's being run against you, how best do you fit inside that route to do it legally, to do it away from interfering with the offensive player, and then still trying to make a catch. There's so many things that defensive backs are challenged by in each and every single play. Yeah, they got to be good tacklers, but their coverage, their athleticism, responsibilities are probably the most difficult aspect of football. And, you know, you think about this team, is for so many generations we are used to watching the cover two defense. Mm-hmm. Safeties deep, corners underneath, try to keep the play in front of you, make the tackle if they make the catch. Now when you have a defense, I think the 34 defense that can put a little bit more pressure on the opponents, that should limit the thinking time of the opponent's quarterback to put the defensive back in more of aggressive position. So it is about experience at the position, understand how you fit in to your defense, understanding the opponent's offense. And I think that's a key ingredient here because you have to know what formations they come out of the huddle, where they're out in the field, what type of routes they like to run according to the area on the field they're at. There's a lot of thinking that goes into every single snap for every single defensive back.
I would say the fear really comes in, and this speaks to your point, if you're not prepared, if you don't know what you're seeing. And I think with experience, younger guys will be able to know what's coming at them, know what to expect. And then film study. If they're studying enough and understanding what they're looking for, then they will be able to be more aggressive toward the ball.
And that happened with Craven on LeBlanc. He admitted it. He ran the route. He knew in that particular down and distance and where they were at on the field that was the route that they liked to go to. He was covering Anquan Boldin. Didn't respect the speed of this aging receiver. You respect his talent still. But he ran the route and intercepted the pass. So, good job, Bears. I'd like to see more of the pass rush also, getting those forced fumbles on the sacks, because that's a big part of it as well. All right, Alshon Jeffery is back. I know he came in a very modest approach this week, trying to get reacclimated to the fellas. I'm sure there's a bit of an embarrassment attached to it by what happened with the PED suspension. But he's back. Hopefully he's in great shape and a mindset ready to deliver something in the final three games. How will that impact the offense, and in particular quarterback Matt Barkley?
Well, I mean, whenever you have a 6'5"-plus receiver that can high point the ball anywhere on the field, and very seldomly are you going to face a defensive back that can equal you up with size, you better be able to get some production out of that player. But he better be in shape. That's one thing I'll say about a player that gets suspended. You better have been doing something on your 4 weeks off to keep up the conditioning expectations of you. But the biggest challenge, I think, going into the game Sunday is going to be a high of 5 degrees. Winds out of the west, northwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour. If you don't go out there and play a heated up game and yet it's cold to you, you could be completely ineffective. So I think that's going to be the challenge, not only to Alshon Jeffery, but every other player out there that touches the football. Make sure you secure it, you control it, and you go to the ground with it. So I hope Matt Barkley has a great relationship with Alshon Jeffery, and I hope Alshon Jeffery comes back here with the desire to compete and be included with his teammates.
I fully expect that from Jeffery, knowing him for his time since being here and knowing what he does in the offseason, and he's immediately back to work as soon as the offseason gets here. So I expect that he will be in shape when he comes in if he's stuck to that, you know, that regimen that he's always been doing. But in terms of the cold, they better make sure they keep their hands warm. That was the number one thing for myself, making sure that I had as many heat packs as I needed in those pouches, you know.
Yeah, that California blood.
California blood, man. it's cold out there, and so hopefully, you know, they keep their hands warm, then they'll be ready.
And then they face the Green Bay Packers. It's always fun. It always will be. Bears-Packers game at Soldier Field in that kind of environment. This Packer team feels it's in a position to run the table. They've talked about it repeatedly. Their leader says so. Aaron Rodgers.
Well, the last time they played the Bears, Aaron Rodgers threw the most passes, either the most passes or the most completions he ever had in his career. And I think that's going to be the most challenging aspect of it. When you play in these cold weather games, if you have a quarterback that throws the ball efficiently, I think that's a great way to take early control of the game and then kind of let your offensive line take over if you can get some points off of throwing the ball. Aaron Rodgers, to me, is one of the top maybe two quarterbacks in the NFL. And I hate him for being so great, but I admire him for being so great. And that's the thing about it is you got to have to be on high alert. But when I play the Chicago Bears at this stage of the season, I'm always worried about their pass rush. Akeem Hicks from the inside to Leonard Floyd, Willie Young, and the group of guys from the outside. So as much as Aaron Rodgers likes to throw the ball, they better make sure that they have their protection completely understood, because Vic Fangio can move these players around a lot.
And as for the Bears, I think they should really think about keeping Aaron in the pocket as opposed to letting him get outside, because he's extremely effective outside of the pocket. He runs well. He throws well, although he might be hobbled by a calf injury or something. But he's still extremely effective, even in the pocket. But he's even more so outside.
Yeah, he's broken a lot of hearts. Moving out of the pocket.
Yeah, he's a tough player to play against. I don't like to say his name too much because he might pop up here, you know what I mean, and ruin this whole set. So we don't want that. But he's an extremely talented player. His receivers, though, are going to have to be on point. Again, with it being cold, they're going to have to deal with it as well. And so they better catch the ball also.
Yeah, Devontae Adams having a good year, and we'll talk more about this now in terms of a matchup. You got a particular matchup of note here?
To me, it's about the Bears' running game. The one thing about the Green Bay defense is they've started elevating themselves. They're starting to gain some ground in the statistics, defensively speaking. Right. Mm-hmm. But to me, I got Jordan Howard. I got Jeremy Langford. I got Kadeem Carey. The way that you want to speed this game up and you want to keep everybody warm, use your offensive line. Mm-hmm. And I think the offensive line can run the ball effectively against the Green Bay defense. And if he can use a good combination of all these running backs, that's a way to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. That's a way to keep your team heated up. And still, you got three fresh running backs that like to go out there and compete. So to me, it kind of sounds, you know, just keep saying about the running game.
Yeah, well, here again, the whole thing about snaps, because Aaron can take away a lot of your snaps. He
right.
can just bleed you, and that becomes the rub. You know, how do you get there?
But take snaps away from Aaron Rodgers.
You have to with the running game. I say the wide receivers versus their defensive backs, they can be attacked in the defensive backfield. So if the offensive line can protect Barkley and keep him safe, then the Bears receivers should be able to make plays against their secondary. They have to catch the ball, though. They've been plagued by drops all year. They can't have that happen. Alshon's going to have to step up and make big plays. Cameron Meredith has been amazing, in my opinion. I think he's been probably the unsung hero of the offensive side of the ball this year. He and Jordan Howard, right. both.
Yeah, I mean, you can respect it. I mean, different path to the NFL, undrafted, and a former quarterback with
and
very little
an amazing
experience.
Number. His number is amazing. 81 is a good number.
Exactly. It's good. Mine is just how the Packers kept the Bears off balance in Lambeau Field by running Ty Montgomery and running Randall Cobb out of traditional run sets. And really, you have to figure, okay, are they going to run a real route out of the backfield? Are they going to shift you out of that and just have you thinking all the time? I thought it was a very well-executed game plan by the Packers in that first matchup.
Are the Bears better off going into this game with Craven LeBlanc, Porter, DeAndre Hall, Bryce Callahan at defensive back? Because a lot of those guys, Bryce Callahan, I think, was maybe caught a punt or two, didn't play a lot of snaps at defensive back. They were playing Bowsby at one of the cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Are they better off with LeBlanc, DeAndre Hall, and Tracy Porter against Aaron Rodgers and what he did to the Bears' defensive backs the first
game? Safety play, too, because if anybody, a quarterback like Aaron, will pick away at whatever weakness they find, that he finds in that. And, for example, that day it happened to be Bosby just hanging on for dear life, and they just picked away. They went to one of the more inexperienced guys. All right, you got a great charity that I've been happy enough to be invited
that.
To help out with Saturday Place. What do you got going on these days?
We did an event recently called Chill. You guys were out there, came to check us out. The Chill was an event at the Merchandise Mart. It was an international wine tasting event, and it went well. We had a lot of people come out to support Saturday Place. We just recently had our science fair last Saturday, which was fun. It's always fun. This is our sixth year, you know, and if you don't know what Saturday Place is, it's a supplemental educational program for third and fourth grade Chicago public school students who are performing at least a year below grade level. And we get our students from Cesar Chavez Elementary School as well as now Burroughs. We've expanded to another school, so we have 45 kids total now. Next year we'll have 60, so we'll get 15 more from Burroughs Elementary School, and we've had over 120 kids come through the program, and we're partnered with UIC right now in downtown.
Explain from your perspective just how rewarding it is to see the value placed in this for these kids that you're helping them elevate.
For me, I feel like I have a huge responsibility to myself and to society. I didn't make it to the NFL on my own. It was a hard-fought road like you spoke of earlier. But I had a lot of people that stood up for me and helped me achieve my goals. And so I feel like I need to do the same thing for the city of Chicago. I'm from Los Angeles, but I wanted to give back to the city that gave me the opportunity to achieve my ultimate goal, which was to play professional football.
You know, you're going to have an influence on kids you'll never see because you're going to take the time to educate kids, and then they're going to go out and help two other kids in their life, five other kids in their life. So the influence that you're going to have on kids that you may never meet is something that you should feel most gratified about because, I mean, it's impressive the number of kids you touched already, but ultimately how many kids you're going to touch.
I appreciate that. You know, Nelson Mandela said famously that education is the most powerful weapon one can use to change the world. And I wholeheartedly believe that. I wouldn't have been able to get out of South Central L.A. Amidst drugs, gangs, and violence had I not had an education and had I not spent some time trying to learn more about different circumstances. Actually, had I not been able to see beyond my circumstances. My circumstances were this small little bubble in South Central L.A. that was riddled with gangs and drugs. But then I realized once taking field trips and such that I could see and be a part of the whole world.
A lot of people can't.
A lot of people can't. You don't. One thing that was said to me when I first made the Bears team was that a lot of these kids who live in these environments have never seen the lake. And not just that, their parents have never seen the lake. Their grandparents have never seen the lake, which spoke to me because I grew up in that same kind of environment and thought that my neighborhood was the whole world and that everything was like my neighborhood. And so another thing that Saturday Place does is we offer field trips every 4 to 5 weeks. Those field trips are designed to get these kids to see beyond their existing circumstances, you know, so they get to see the entire world, all of Chicago, and expose them to places like this, you know, bring them in to a studio. We do a field trip or bring them into a studio, show them what goes on behind the scenes and making sort of a production like this. And they see, oh, there's a cameraman, there's a photographer, there's a producer, they're you guys, you know, the hosts of the show. So there's many different things that they can do. They don't have to be the host. You know, they can be the cameraman, they can produce the show, they can direct, they can do a lot of different things. And so same thing when it comes to restaurants. You know, you can be the chef, excuse me. You can be the owner. You know, you can work in marketing. You can do a lot of different things in your life, not just what you see on TV. Everybody these days thinks they need to be a rapper, singer, actress, you know what I mean? And they want everything right now. And what I like to tell children is this, and not just children, everybody. Anything worth having is worth working hard for, but it's also worth waiting on. Nothing that is worth having comes easily or comes quick. You know, you spent years playing football, working hard in the weight room and training and studying to understand your position and get your opportunity. I spent years working on my NFL career. You spent years to get to this point, right? So all of that, people need to realize that it didn't just happen overnight. It wasn't just a gift. It took a lot of work to get here. And so that's what I want these kids to understand.
Can I get an amen for Rashid Davis? That's exactly right. Yeah. You can't put it any better than that. You've left me with nothing else to follow up with. Great job. And it is. It's very impactful what he had to say there because you nailed it. You nailed it. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me, always.
Bears wide receiver, DB, return man, and overall good guy, Rashid Davis.
I try to be.
Yes, you do. I'm Bears Talk here today. For Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching, everybody.